Good afternoon. Welcome to the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. The time is 1:25. It's Thursday, April 22nd. We have Representative Story, Representative Rauscher, Representative Tarr, myself, Chair Tuck. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to do business. I also want to remind everybody to mute your cell phones and to please speak in the microphone because we are being moderated from afar. And I also want to recognize that Representative Klayman has just joined us. So I want to thank Kelsey Riker with Juno LIO for moderating the meeting. And I believe it's, I haven't met you, I'm sorry. And then we have Robin Stevens in the back, who is House Records for documenting the meeting. Okay, today's agenda includes consideration of Senate Bill 40, sponsored by Senator Josh Rivack, and then after that we'll have House Joint Resolution 16, sponsored by Representative David Nelson. So first up, Senate Bill 40. Mr. Rivack, if you want to come on up, put yourself on the record, and begin your presentation. And I believe that you, we want to introduce your presenter.
I don't mean to wreck the place, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Senator Rivack, District M, thanks so much for hearing this bill today. If it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman, I'll let my trusty staff, Seth, read over, and I'll just give a little follow-up, and we can take questions if that's all right with you.
My pleasure, and thank you very much, Senator Rivack. It's read over. Is that your last name, Seth?
Seth Duggan.
Oh, Seth Duggan, I'm sorry. You were saying have Seth read over. Okay, thank you. Please proceed, and please put your name and affiliation on the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Tuck, and members of the House Military Veterans Affairs Committee. For the record, Seth Duggan, staff to Senator Rivack. Thank you for hearing SB 40. SB 40 is an act relating to veteran benefits and veteran benefit services. SB 40 seeks to protect veterans and their families from a person who provides veteran benefit services or veteran benefit appeal services for compensation. This will require these providers to notify veterans and their families about the free services provided by veteran service organizations before they take them on as a client. The veteran must sign and date a disclosure from affirming that they know free services are available. This will create increased awareness among veterans, their dependents, and survivors of the available services. There is a statewide network of advocates available to assist them in obtaining the benefits they have earned. Providers who fail to comply are subject to a civil penalty of $1,000 for each violation. Thank you for considering SB 40. I will now hand things off to Senator Rivack.
Here, real quick, let me let the record reflect that we've just been joined by Representative Nelson and Representative Shaw. Okay, Senator Rivack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Quite simply, what this bill does is when service members reintegrate into civilian life, the military has a contractual obligation with their members to fix or compensate what they broke. They go through an application process. We've provided the services free of charge. It's a legal type service. We have what's called veteran service officers. They work very hard. They work for non-governmental organizations like the VFW, the American Legion, the Disabled American Veterans, and they're well trained, and we provide that to the veteran free of charge. And so what we're trying to do here is avoid predatory behaviors from for-profit private sector folks that sometimes provide these services for up to 30% of the veterans' benefits. So what this does is they have to provide a disclaimer saying that the same services are offered for free. That way the veteran knows about it.
Sounds like a good consumer protection bill as well on that one. Any questions for our bill sponsor, Representative Story?
Yes, thank you, Chair Tuck, and through the chair, good to see you, Senator Rivack, and thank you both for being here today. I really do appreciate that it's not something that's in the fine print that people have to look for, because sometimes I know when you are hearing about benefits, it's not always clear. And so I like that they have to sign a disclosure. I think that's great. I did wonder, When we have a list of who is a veteran, we do not have the commissioned officer corps members listed in here, which are the NOAA and those who serve for the public health commissioned officers corps. And they do are eligible for veterans benefits, but they are not listed. And I'm wondering if that is something you're open to, is having them listed here.
Representative Story, Chairman Tuck, we wouldn't be adverse to listing them or anybody who's eligible for VSO, free VSO services would be appropriate, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other questions, Representative Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Senator Rivak, what's going to be the outreach to the veterans to let them know, hey, if this bill does pass, that, hey, this is available to you, and if you see something, you know, go report it?
So, Representative Nelson, Mr. Chairman, that's kind of the essence of this bill is that let's say a law firm, a veteran approaches a law firm to help them fill out their veterans benefits paperwork, then they would then disclose that with the veteran that these services are available. So that's essentially what we're trying to achieve here in the bill.
A follow-on.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Senator Rivak, I understand that. I'm saying, like, to let soldiers know, like, how to report it if in case, you know, they didn't see, or they were approached but they didn't get that notification. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, we do have the Director of Veterans Benefits online, Mr. Verdi Bowen, and maybe he could better speak to that.
Thank you. Mr. Bowen, did you hear the question, and are you available?
Yes, sir. This is Verdi Bowen, the Director of Veterans Affairs, and through the chair to Representative Nelson. What we would do is we would do a media campaign, put out press releases and all of those things, and also notify all the veteran service organizations to notify all the veterans that are there as well. I currently have 36,000 veterans in a database. We would also send that information out to them as well so that we could get this widely dispersed throughout the state, so that they know that they could receive these free services.
Follow up?
Yeah, just as a quick comment, thank you. Thank you so much. It's nice to have, you know, SB 40, and if it does pass and become a law, but not having that brought out to all the veterans and them being notified of it is would kind of miss the point on it. But I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further comments? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Tuck. And just to follow up on Representative Nelson's comments about the importance of knowing there will be media on it, I would think that would have to be something that's done quarterly, you know, annually, because people do move throughout employment and they might not be aware of it. And is there a way that it can be put into, like, regulations or policy at the different veterans organizations so it is something that is a regular part of informing veterans of this?
Our Representative Story, through the chair, this is a big effort by the Department of Veterans Affairs. These, as I mentioned, some of these veteran service officers work for nonprofits, so there's that aspect, or some of them do handle the outreach in a little bit different way, but there's also some guidance from at the state level, and I know they have pretty robust outreach efforts currently, and they're always looking for ways to grow those, but maybe Director Bowen could speak to that a little bit as well.
Thank you. Mr. Bowen, did you hear the question?
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Representative Story, we have a monthly meeting with all of our veteran service officer partners, and we would ensure that actually monthly that this information would be released again and again so that we can help save those veterans the funds that they're losing today.
Thank you for that.
Any further questions for the bill sponsor? Okay. All righty, well, We're going to go ahead and set Senate Bill 40 aside and to our next meeting, which will be Tuesday, April 27th, and then we'll take up public testimony at that meeting. And it is the chair's intent to move that bill at that time. Representative Story?
Thank you, Chair Tuck. Will there be an amendment deadline if one wishes to make an amendment?
Yeah, if you don't mind working with the bill sponsor and see if we can get that amendment ready and available for that Tuesday's meeting. I'm not going to set a deadline, but I guess that would be the deadline, is the next meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if I could, Mr. Chairman, given the nature of this bill, I'd just like to thank those on the committee who have served our country. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And likewise, thank you, Senator Reback, for your service. Thank you very much. All right, thank you so much. Next on our agenda is Houghton Joint Resolution number 16. Representative Nelson, if you would like to, you can stay where you're at if you like. If you want to present right there, you're more than welcome to. But go ahead and please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and members of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. For the record, I am David Nelson, representative for House District 15 in Anchorage. HJR 16, or House Joint Resolution 16, encourages the United States Congress to fulfill the promises made to the Hmong soldiers during the Vietnam War and grant them the same veteran benefits received by United States soldiers. In the 1960s, over 100,000 Hmong soldiers were recruited by the United States Central Intelligence Agency to help the United States in the fight against communism. The Hmong warriors fought to intercept and prevent the flow of troops and supplies along the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And as many as 40,000 were killed as they supported and protected the United States Armed Forces during this conflict. The Hmong warriors were heavily outnumbered. However, they continued to fight, gathering critical intelligence about enemy operations, and continue to undertake rescue missions even throughout the end of the war. Hmong soldiers suffered acts of retributions and atrocities at the hands of the Pathet Lao and North Vietnamese, causing many to flee to Thailand. These soldiers became refugees because the United States government encouraged them to fight on their behalf. The Hmong people fought bravely in what is now called the Secret War. And for their loyalty, they were promised access to the same veteran benefits as the United States soldiers. The Hmong people have put their faith and trust in the United States government. And we are requesting that the promises that they were made during that time be honored. And that is the purpose of House Joint Resolution 16. I do also want to note that Representative Tarr was influential with helping me craft this resolution. And as members of this committee know, we have passed around a letter for people to sign. And I have Verdi Bowens, Director of Office of Veterans Affairs for the State of Alaska, available for questions as well. And I would appreciate the committee's support on this resolution.
Thank you very much. Representative Nelson, do we have any questions for the bill sponsor or for Verdi Bowen, Director of Veterans Affairs? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Tuck. This is probably a little history lesson for me on why Congress has been so hesitant to do this over the years. I can guess, but if you have any background about why this has not been done and the resistance to it, I would appreciate that.
Through the chair to Representative Story, there has been some movement on this, and I will also reflect this question off to Mr. Bowens. Back during 2000, under the Clinton administration, there was the Hmong Naturalization Act, and I can pass this along to Mr. Bowen and to elaborate a little bit more.
Mr. Bowen, can you respond to Representative Story's question?
Yes, sir. Through the chair to Representative Story. To date so far, what we have been able to receive through the Congress is burial rights in our national cemeteries for Hmong soldiers. They have not stepped across the line to add more benefits, but they have acknowledged the fact that they did fight for our country. and allowed them to have honorable burials in our national cemeteries.
Thank you very much. Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little bit to add to that. When I was the Director for Veterans Affairs under the Mills administration, in 2001, we passed legislation for veterans benefits to the Alaska Territorial Guard. They were somewhat in the same situation as the Hmong community in supporting soldiers in Vietnam. In World War II, Muktuk Marston had recruited Alaska Natives as young as 14 years old to defend the coast of Alaska. It wasn't until 2003 that Congress came through with veterans benefits for the Alaska Territorial Guard. It was recognition of their service, something that we are hoping to do today as well with the Hmong community. The Hmong community, they were my lifeline. Again, I highlighted, I came back from Vietnam 50 years ago last month. I came back in March of 1971. And the Hmong community had 10 soldiers for each of ours that died on our behalf. As a Navy SEAL, our primary mission was tactical guerrilla warfare. And our lifeline in that respect was the Hmong community. The Hmong community lost approximately 40,000 soldiers directly in conflict and in support of the armed forces in Vietnam. But what a lot of people don't understand is, after the fact, they lost nearly 100,000 they suffered under the communist government after the fact. The Hmong soldiers, literally, when I say a lifeline above and beyond the call of duty, and the fact that we are presently offering them burial in our national cemeteries is a good direction to help us move forward in honoring them entirely with veterans benefits, especially for the amount of the community, the Hmong community that's moved into America and given so much to the community today. And so I would really appreciate support for this bill.
Thank you very much, Representative Shaw. Representative Story.
Thank you. And just a follow up, so I guess the issue, because there's certainly deserving, and is just the dollar amount. The federal government is just hesitant about the dollar amount.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again, or statement?
Yeah, because I'm convinced that benefits, you know, are due, mm-hmm. and I was just wondering about what is the resistance, and the resistance must be money.
Representative Nelson, you care to respond?
Thank you, and through the chair, Representative Story, you know, I don't want to associate the motives behind our federal delegation or members of Congress, but I can always take it an approach to this, but I would like to pass that on to Mr. Bowen, and he can elaborate a little bit more on this.
Thank you.
And Mr. Bowen, would you like to respond?
Yes, sir. Through the chair to Representative Story, the funding would be really not that significant because the amount of Hmong veterans that are in the United States is very limited. Here in the state of Alaska, we have about 60. So if you look across the United States of those that were able to flee Vietnam or flee Laos at the end of the war, we're not talking, I don't even believe that we would have 500 Hmong fighters that are left between Alaska, California, and Minnesota.
So, Mr. Verde, with that, what is the biggest hindrance of Congress recognizing the Hmong veterans?
To the chair, I honestly don't know. I mean, it took us three tries to get the burials completed, and Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan worked pretty hard to push those through. I don't know what would stop them from doing fulfillment of the complete honor that is due them. It could be because of the fact that it was a CIA army, but again, this is the first time in the history of our nation that the CIA had an army that was 46,000 strong. I don't know why they would be resilient or resistant.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowen. Representative Shaw.
And on that note, through the chair, when we attempted to pass legislation honoring or giving benefits to the Alaska Territorial Guard, as U.S. citizens, it took us 2 years to get those benefits in place. And the cost was extremely minimal because we have to consider that most of the Hmong generation, and we're talking about Vietnam, are my age or older, and there are so few, and the benefits would be so limited. With the Alaska Territorial Guard, we ended up, I think we only had probably a half a dozen members that actually applied for benefits because primarily of their age. And by the time it would have been Representative Nelson's constituent, Sam Herman, he was 74 years old by the time he received his first benefit. He got a blue ID card, retired ID card from military service as the Alaska Territorial Guard, which was never considered part of the military. And he made his first trip to the commissary, and he did it with tears. So the benefits are very, very few relative to the total cost of this. I can tell you, and when Verdi Bowen talks about the numbers being that small, as small as 60 in the state of Alaska, that's pretty realistic.
Any further questions? Representative Rauscher.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Bowen, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Basically, there's line 25, and I believe there was in the statement that was stated earlier, and the warriors were promised. Is there any documentation to this promise available for us anywhere in Congress?
Through the chair to Representative Rauscher, that would be the most wonderful thing in the world, but and Representative Shaw can validate this, but in the black world, if it's not written, it's not said. And because this was a full CIA operation, the only time that the promises were brought forward was when James Lair, the CIA operative that was in that region, testified before Congress in the mid-70s that said that that benefits were promised, but they did not go through with them. And he since has passed away, and so has Jerry Daniels, which was the last CIA operative that actually stayed in Thailand to help try and pull the Hmong out of the region, help them flee Laos. But there's nothing written. But they did pay them, they did conscript them somehow, and they did provide them weapons.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen. Representative Shaw.
And I can highlight on that as well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, that the operations that we were engaged in Vietnam were strictly covert, and guerrilla warfare, that's just the nature of the business. And working with the CIA along the Cambodian and Laos border, it was an area we probably shouldn't have been, but considering it was the border and we were working against a communist infiltration from China, there were promises made internally, but there was never anything written. Generally, after we did our operational orders and we completed our operation as needed, we basically burnt the operational orders, and there was never really a history of it. And with the Hmong community, I can tell you for a fact, there you will find very little written history relative to what they were involved with and what they did relative to the CIA operations being as covert as they were.
Representative Nelson.
And just in response to that, through the chair, to Representative Rauscher, in my own research and talking to the Hmong veterans that are still with us today, you know, as Representative Shaw was saying, that if it wasn't written, you know, that was okay, especially for a CIA operation. But there are things as promises and medals that were given out during that but weren't necessarily written down. Even now we're trying to get a replacement for that medal is cause for difficulty because there is no paper trail.
Appreciate it. Thank you for all your answers.
You know, I just want to comment on that. It's unfortunate that we don't have that and understand why we don't have that. But at the same time, so many years has passed that I think it's okay. We know the history. I know a lot of it is hasn't been recorded, but I really do think even if there wasn't a written agreement to begin with, that America should honor it anyway. Any further discussions or questions? Okay, thank you very much, Representative Nelson. We will set this aside as well and take up public testimony at the next committee hearing on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. If anybody has any amendments or any ideas, please work with the bill sponsor or the resolution sponsor to make it better if it's necessary. Okay, well, that concludes the work that we have today. Our next committee meeting will be Tuesday, April 27th at 1 p.m. here in the Gruenberg Room, number 120. And with that, we are adjourned at 1:51 p.m.